Good morning, my name's Simone. I'm going to be reading the Bible for us. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to be reading the whole of the chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Got some Mazda keys here. We're going to check the speedometer and see how low the Ks are. And if it looks pretty good, we'll prepare it for sale. And its goods will be used for gospel ministry. Do you want a car? I better not throw it. I'll get someone in the eye. Today kickstarts a three-week vision series. That was a joke as well, just if you don't know me. Sorry, apologies. Today kickstarts a three-week vision series. It's the fruit of a broad and reflective process. It's a journey that I've personally sort of been on for about 3 years. I'm the beneficiary, accidentally, I think. The Lord gifted, blessed me as an introvert and gave me the gift of the gab, like my mother. And so I just find myself talking to all sorts of people across the country and many godly men and women. They've been helpful in terms of guiding my thoughts and reflections. So I'm grateful to Rory Shiner, who is a visiting lecturer from QTC in Brisbane. Godly women like Betsy Cunningham and Kylie Brown. The influence of Christian leaders like John Stott and John Mark Comer, and our wise and our godly leadership team, our elders, who constantly astound me with their powerful love and generosity. But all glory and praise to the author of love, the Lord Jesus, and his Spirit who changes us to dramatically reflect Christ's love. Please keep your Bibles open now to 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll be looking through verses 1 through to 8. But let me pray. Father, we know that love is central to who you are, so please help us to love you and so love our neighbour. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you imagine or think of as a city of love? New York City, London, Rome, Amsterdam. My mind wanders to Paris, Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe, the art galleries, and my stomach wanders to the baguettes or the crepes that you have with Nutella that Susan and I enjoyed during our time in Paris. But in the early church, your mind may have wandered to the ancient city of Corinth. Corinth, or Old Corinth at a time, was a byword for licentiousness. There was more than 1,000 prostitutes connected to the temple of Aphrodite. And it wasn't just sex in the city. The city loved a sporting body. The city loved a sharp mind, and the Corinthians loved themselves. So Corinth was not unlike any cosmopolitan city of today, just like New York City or Rome or Amsterdam or Paris today. In these cities, love is meant to abound. These fast-paced cities like Corinth are in desperate need, though, to discover the true speed of love. Are you willing to strap into 2022 to seek to leave out a mission to discover the speed of love? There will definitely be some bumps, some twists and turns, some smooth sections, some potholes. Okay, a lot of potholes, some dead ends, some slower sections. There'll be some areas you'll be tempted to speed off. There'll be some parts you'll be desperate to overtake. And yet if we're willing to stick together with the fast bearing with the slow, with the strong bearing with the weak, with the old bearing with the young, and the young bearing with the old, we might discover the speed of love. Are you in? Are you in?
Yes.
Well, let's go. Now, Corinth was a city that loved knowledge. And yet, even in the church, its speed to acquire knowledge could mean that love was burned off. Have a look with me at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. Corinth loved knowledge. Just a short reflection on ancient Greece draws to mind the great philosophers of Western culture, Plato, Aristotle, or think of Paul in Athens in the Areopagus, and Luke's description of Athens in Acts 17. Do you remember this? All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. That too is Corinthian culture. It's only 83 k's from Athens. They were lovers of the mind, lovers of orators, lovers of the wise. Listen to Paul capture this cultural moment in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. This is from verse 22. Jews demand signs. We remember that from last week. Greeks, what do they look for? Wisdom. And yet there was a fatal attraction to that knowledge in the church at Corinth. I wonder if you've heard this about Corinth that begs the question, was the church in Corinth or was it the church of Corinth? So strong was the desire for knowledge, they would attach themselves to some wise philosopher, following in the train of their intellect and wisdom and knowledge, and yet it's a faulty mentoring system. And Paul is continually trying to fracture it and break it as he guides the Corinthian church towards the desired location, destination, love. Do you remember this? This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. This is Paul. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. And still another, I follow Christ. Or the tragedy of 2 Corinthians, where the competition is no longer Christian leaders like Paul and Apollos, but it's wise and honey-lipped speakers of Corinthian culture. Paul gives them the ironic title of what? Super apostles. Could no doubt have been argued some of the Corinthian speakers in 2 Corinthians that Paul is talking about, these super apostles, they are super smart. Super knowledgeable, super educated, even an expert. But they lacked the key ingredient. They lacked the foundation. They lacked the bedrock. They lacked love. Australian author Craig Hamilton has written a brilliant big book with little chapters, appropriately called for Corinth. It's Wisdom in Leadership. For a number of years, I knew it was out there. It's by a publisher in Australia called Matthias Media, but I never grabbed it. But a wise friend of mine who pastors in South Brisbane suggested to me, have a read of a great chapter in the book called Humble But Hungry. And it's a cracker. about three or four pages. I've scanned it. I've probably passed it on a good number of times. And why is it so good? I think because it gets us toward the place that Paul wanted the Corinthians to move towards. So let me read a short excerpt. This is by Craig. In my opinion and experience, there are two qualities that differentiate good leaders from great leaders. This is Craig speaking. When I'm looking for leaders to lead others, I look for people who are humble and hungry. Firstly, humility is recognizing things aren't always about you. It's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Humility is considering others better and more important than yourself. The other major quality I look for in leaders is hunger. People hungry means having a passion to see people saved, to see them grow in Christ's likeness, to help them develop, to see their passion, to see disciples made. And in it as well, he does talk about introverts and extroverts, and he says those categories don't matter. Hungry people, whether you're very shy and silent, still desire these things, even if it means achieving them requires great personal cost and sacrifice and means toiling even into obscurity. I reckon Paul the Apostle would have rated the chapter because he was always on the lookout for leaders who loved, who understood the speed of love. For it's not how quickly you can find a book in the Bible. It's not how quickly you can cross-reference. It's not if you know what the word agape mean and its variants. Now, don't worry if you don't even know what I'm talking about. Please, church family, no love, no humility, no hunger before being a know-it-all. And now the speed of love will force us to leave ourselves behind as we strive to love others. Let's have a look at verse 3 together. Paul zeroes in on the shocking revelation. The Corinthian charity and convictions of verse 3 are fueled by self-love. And before we gasp in horror, we ought to hold the mirror of God's word toward our life to see if that same self-love does not drive our goodness as well. So please read with me from 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor, give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. It's striking, isn't it? This extreme act could be achieved and have no love bound to it. What could motivate such extravagant sacrifice but only have a shallowness of love? In fact, be completely lacking in love. Look, I suspect to our modern ears this morning, it seems outrageous that you could have this valor and courage, audacity, boldness, daring. And yet first century people commonly saw great merit in charity and service as tops. But the speed of this spectacular sacrifice is driven by high ideals and pride and loveless boasting. The SAS are some of the most gifted men and women in our country. They are brave, valiant, heroic. They guard and protect the freedom we love. And yet the commander of the Australian SAS says the biggest danger to safety of the special military forces is what? Ego. Sure. Some of the stories the commander tells of their training and missions, it's straight out of the movies. But he says the biggest threat to the success of the mission is a fight against ego. And I should also say that some versions of 1 Corinthians 13 even render the outlandish acts in 1 Corinthians 13:3 to include giving themselves to the flames. rendering up your life, dying for the cause, what does the SAS do to that sort of monumental act? The Victorian cross. How does Paul measure these acts of love? It's true he doesn't deny it, but he says the totality of the gift contrasts dramatically with the nothingness of the act. Paul's love-o-meter says love is about seeking gain for others. Paradoxically, the only way to gain benefit or advantage from God is to love others. To gain benefit or advantage from God is to love others. To dedicate our life to seeking gain, we benefit and advantage those around us. And yet the biggest roadblock to other person-centeredness is us. John Stott captures this powerfully. He says, the biggest hindrance to your spiritual life, pride. One of his great Christian leaders was Charles Simeon, a guy who ministered for decades at Cambridge. And he said, the primary mark of a Christian is self-loathing, abhorrence. He says, I want to see more of this humble, contrite, and broken-hearted people among us. Stott said, pride is a dead end. Love is the highway. So let your hair go. Let it blow in the breeze of loving freedom. Listen to this freedom. Get on your motorbike in 2022 and think about this. True freedom is the opposite of what many people think. It's not freedom from all responsibility to God and others. In order to live for myself, that is bondage. Bondage to self-centeredness. True freedom is freedom from my silly little self in order to live responsibly to love God and love others. So let's look quickly at verses 4 to 8 to see how love is willing to go at any speed. No one loves a know-it-all, and there is no love in sacrifice fueled by pride. What speed does love go? Love is willing to go any speed. What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And yet that love just makes me feel tired, disappointed, ashamed, embarrassed, self-conscious, disillusioned, frustrated, and humbled. Thank God the speed of his love was just at the right time. This is from Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, for a good person. Someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What is the city of love? New York City, London, Rome, Amsterdam, Paris, Corinth. We know the secret. Love more. You might remember the devastating floods of 2017 that struck the heart of our city, Lismore. Love more was incredibly and appropriately named as an appeal that went out for assistance for a city that was struck at its very heart. Do you love our city? Fascinatingly, texts on cross-cultural mission plead with their missionaries to truly love their city that they call home. This is what they say. Work hard to enjoy your neighbourhood and its culture. Sometimes this will be a choice. Make a habit of saying positive things about your city. Be 100% there 100% of the time. Don't live in the past, don't live in the future, don't look forward, don't look back to whatever you think of home. If your home is here, make it here as long as you're here. I'm guilty of being negative about our city. Last week, we had the director of MTS in Australia here in Lismore. Before they arrived, they had a coffee at Shelley's on the beach. I reminded them to prepare themselves because they were coming to the armpit of the Northern Rivers. Not a glamorous way to describe your city, is it? Can I suggest three things to love your city, love more? Consider doing some Christmas shopping in your city. It will be more expensive. It'll be more expensive than buying from big chains and buying online. Secondly, consider making a cafe in town a regular for you, rather than heading for the sea breeze of Ballina or Byron. Thirdly, consider serving in a local community group as a volunteer with a Christian brother or sister. And yet there is a thing that Christian leaders remind us about, why we're to love cities, and it's because people are there. Do you have time for the people of your city? Or do you just speed through life in light speed? If they can't keep up with your schedule, then sorry, I just got to leave you behind. Can I suggest as you start buying your 2022 diary or the next appointment that you put in your Google Calendar or whatever, what is the iPhone calendar called? iCalendar? Sorry if I offended you. If you have a paper copy, write 1 Corinthians 13 in it, the whole thing, in the front of it. Actually write it with your hand. Write the whole thing. If your diary is electronic, you're too busy to write the whole thing, just put the reference down. Just put 1 Corinthians 13. So that each time you make an appointment in 2022, you're measuring it in your mind. You're going, what is the speed of love? And as I said, in the front of your calendar, if you read the front of it, I've suggested doing a love audit this time next year. What you need to do is flip through your 2022 Southern Cross calendar and just have a bit of a think about what filled your life. Was it love of self or love of others? Now, paradoxically, Jesus encourages his disciples, the way you love your city is by loving your Christian brothers and sisters. Doesn't seem right, does it? The way we love out there is by loving. How good we love out there is measured by how good we love in here. Do you remember this? Do you know this line from Jesus? He says it in John 13. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. I wonder if Jesus knew that if we couldn't love well at home, you're not going to love well in your city. Who is on speed dial on your phone? Who do you love to spend time with? Who do you love that makes you laugh? Who do you call when you're free? Have a listen to American pastor Tim Keller turn our idea of love on its head. He says, like everyone else, up until I became a pastor, I let my likings and affections strictly determine who I spent time with. When I moved to Hopewell, Virginia, this is well before he was in New York City, as a young pastor, and I began to serve there, I met many people I would not have pursued as friends. There was no spark of the kind you feel when you want to spend time with someone. Nevertheless, now as a young pastor, I was called on to do acts of love with lots of people who I was not emotionally drawn to. And it changed me. This came to me one day to Kathy, my wife and I. We had time free. We were deciding who would we spend time with. And I thought of a particular couple in the church family. I proposed that we visit them or have them over. She looked at me astounded and said, "Why on earth?" This particular couple had few or no friends. They had many personal problems that made them unattractive to others and indeed to each other. For a moment, I was surprised by her surprise, and then I laughed when I saw what had happened. For months, I had been investing much time and thought and emotion into helping this couple move forward in life. In short, I'd been doing various actions of love, listening, serving, sympathising, confronting, forgiving, affirming, sharing. And after all that, I'd actually come to like them. There's probably a few people in our church family you don't love much. And yet I guarantee there will be people in your gospel community you simply don't like. So I wonder whether Jesus knew commanding us to love those we don't find lovely would actually speedily grow us towards genuine love. He knew loving the lovely is easy. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 5. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Even the tax collectors are doing that. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than the others? Don't the pagans do that? What if we could increase the speed of love in our church family so that it overflows love and it floods our city? 6 or 7 years ago, our neighbour across the road from me rang me. They didn't get through, I was in a meeting. And guess who the next person was they rang? Someone from my gospel community. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know what they had seen amongst us, but whatever they was, they knew who to call in a time of crisis. Scaringly, they'd managed to lock themselves in their own garage and could not get out. They're a single parent. And a gorgeous sister from Southern Cross was Superwoman and let them out. Do you love more? I pray you do. What speed is your life moving at? Do you have time to love? Do you have time to listen? Do you have time to care? I would guess many of us would need to slow down in order to love with Jesus' kind of love. But to do that, our love of knowledge might need to lessen, and our love of self will have to have a complete overhaul. Listen to a most lovely church leader explain the way to accelerate the speed of love in your life. It is worth writing down, or it's worth getting blown up on a print at Officeworks. Luca, that one's on you. If you insist on holding on to yourself and on living for yourself and refuse to let go of yourself, you will lose yourself. But if you're willing to give yourself away in love, then at the moment of complete abandon, when you imagine everything is lost, the miracle takes place and you find yourself and you find your freedom. Let's pray. Let's talk to our loving Father. Father, we want to thank you that your love came at just the right time when we were loveless. Christ, in perfect love, died for us. We are sorry that we can find it hard to love, only directing love to those who love us. Help us to learn the speed of your love. Please, may we marinate deeply in the depth of your love, that we might overflow that love you have for us to our brothers and sisters, and that love might flood our city. And our city might fall completely in love with Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.